Well, it's good to be back again this evening. I trust you had a good day. I sure did. Wow, another beautiful day out running through the cactus, and I saw the wildlife today. I saw a rabbit. One rabbit. That's it. Now, I saw horses, but I'm not sure if they qualified for wildlife, so we'll leave them out. I did see a rabbit, though. But it was a good day. I got to church tonight, and one of the sleepers that was supposed to be a singer asked me, "Are you going to preach?" And I said, yes, I'm going to try. And she goes, "Do you have to always preach so long?" Don't you love the honesty of a child? They just say exactly what's on their mind. They didn't even make it to my message. They bonked out about halfway through the congregational singing. So I don't get blamed for putting them to sleep tonight. But oh, it's been a long day. They've played hard. It's been a long week. You get to bed late. You get up early. You got all the regular responsibilities of playing that have to be done. And they just wear out. And I understand that. So tonight, I want us to go to the book of Exodus, and we're going to use three chapters tonight. Maybe it is good that they fell asleep. Exodus 14, 15, and 16 are where we're going to go. And I actually not going to read as much from the scripture as I want you to kind of follow along. The stories in scripture are put there for a reason. They're not there just to take up time. They're not there just to fill pages. They are there to learn from. And we can learn a lot from the children of Israel at their time of the Exodus. We can learn a lot, and I want to look at just a tiny portion of the Exodus story and help us learn from that. Now, the setting for the story is, I think all of you know, but I'm just going to give a little background. The children of Israel were in Egypt, and they had become slaves. They'd been slaves for 400 years. They had served in slavery, and God promised them deliverance. And so Moses was raised up to come and be the one that God would use for the deliverance. And God showed himself powerful through the 10 plagues. Wow, it is amazing. It is absolutely astounding what God did to them. The first thing he did was turn the water to blood. Ugh, what a mess that was. And then he made all the frogs come. And then we got to talking about this at lunch today. The frogs just came out of nowhere, out of the river actually, and overwhelmed everything. And then there was lice. And then the flies came. But here God begins to make a demarcation between his people and the Egyptians. The land of Goshen, the Israelites didn't have the flies. Just the Egyptians had the flies. I can't imagine what that must have been like to be swarmed by flies. You couldn't open your mouth. You'd want to pinch your nose shut because you wouldn't want them crawling up your nose and getting in your eyes. What a mess that was. But God was beginning to show his power. And then the cattle died. And then there were boils. And then the hail fell. And then the locusts. Then there was darkness. And finally, the last plague, the firstborn of every family died. Even the firstborn of the cattle died. God was showing his might, and Pharaoh finally said, "Get out of here." And the children of Israel packed up and they headed out. And that is a miracle in and of itself. The scripture tells us the dogs didn't even bark at them. They were glad to get rid of them. They were afraid they were next on the list to be killed. So they were glad that the children of Israel got out, and there they leave rejoicing. And then they run into the Red Sea. And Pharaoh by then has changed his mind because there's nobody to do the work. Because the slaves had been doing all the work and now they want their slaves back. And so they go after them. Egypt comes after them. And there is Israel pinned up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh's coming in behind them. And the children of Israel are pretty sure they're going to die. They're pretty sure it's over. But God wasn't done showing his power. And he stepped between them with the pillar of cloud. And one side was bright as day. The other side was dark as night. Egypt couldn't see to go forward, but the light was shining and the children of Israel went forward. You say, but wait a minute, there was a Red Sea. Yes, there was. But Moses stretched out his rod and God opened a path through the Red Sea. And the scripture says they walked through on dry land. That is incredible. That they would walk through on dry land. I've been running down in the Arroyo and what I think is dry land isn't always dry land. I got more mud on my shoes today. Carried about 3 pounds of mud with me for a while. That's hard on a fat man. But they went through on dry land. Now, how long did it take them to get through? We really don't know. Most Bible scholars believe it took them at least 6 hours. So they didn't go single file. There were large groups passing through the Red Sea all at the same time. And then God began to move the cloud in. And the Egyptians thought, here we go, we've got them. And they get into the Red Sea and God collapses the water on them. And they're dead. The enemy is gone. And we see that in the tail end of chapter 14, in the beginning of chapter 15. They sing a song about the triumph that God did. How God drowned their enemy and led them through the Red Sea. What a triumphant time that was. I believe we would remember that if we experienced it. But you know, it isn't long until they bump into a problem. You know, sometimes when we begin to serve God, we assume now that I'm saved, it's going to be smooth sailing from there. I'm here to tell you, it's not that way. You're still going to run into problems. But I also want you to understand God is bigger than your problem. If you don't have big problems, you don't need a big God. If the worst thing you ever have happen to you is that you get a hangnail, then you don't really need a big God. But I'm here to tell you, our God is big enough for every problem you will ever face. So in chapter 15, verse 22, they're traveling along and they're in the desert. Now, you all understand the concept of the desert better than any congregation back east that I preach to. They don't understand the concept of a desert where there's just no water at all. That's where the children of Israel are. They're in the desert. They're in the wilderness. They're walking along and they run out of water. That is a big problem. You all understand that. That is a big problem. When I was here the first time, one thing that really struck me, every vehicle I rode in had water in it. Bottles of water. Now you all are so used to it, you probably don't even notice that. It struck me. I might have a bottle of water. But those, there were boxes and bags and lots of bottles of water because if you're going to go very far, you need the water. You need to take it with you. They didn't have boxes and bags and bottles of water with them. And soon, they ran out. Now we have a problem. So they're traveling. They come up against not having any water. And so they begin to complain about Moses. They begin to be frustrated at Moses. And in verse 22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And there they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they did come to water, they couldn't drink the water of Marah, for it was bitter. Therefore, the name was called Marah. The water was what we call brack water. It was partially salt water. You can't drink it. You know, no way to drink the water. Nothing worse than being thirsty and you find water only to find that the water you found, you can't drink. Now the children of Israel are really upset because they've bumped into bitter water. But you know what? God had a plan. As you begin to walk with Jesus, I'm here to tell you there's going to be times when you bump into the bitter water of disappointment. Bitter disappointment. People let you down. People disappointed you. And maybe they meant to disappoint you. I don't know. But there's that bitter water of disappointment. In fact, we use that phrase often. We were bitterly disappointed. People will let you down. And you will bump up against that bitter water of disappointment. Maybe it's circumstances that you thought you knew exactly how things were going to work out. You had it all planned out, how God was going to do it, only to find out it didn't work out the way you thought. And now you're bitterly disappointed. I'm here to tell you, God has a plan for your bitter disappointment if you will trust Him. I learned this lesson. It's been a number of years ago now. We were living in East Tennessee. And I was teaching the adult Sunday school class. And I was doing pretty good. Or at least I thought I was doing pretty good. They were complimenting me. Nobody was throwing fruits and vegetables on Sunday morning. So I assumed that was a good thing. And I was enjoying teaching the adult Sunday school class. And everything was going good, I thought. Then elections came up. And they voted me out. Well, how ungrateful is that? And to make things worse, they put me into the little kids' class. To teach them. I don't teach little kids. I'm an adult teacher. And I remember feeling frustrated by that. Being tempted to say, you know what? You don't appreciate me? Forget it. I'm going to sit on the pew and do nothing. I was bitterly disappointed. But God snatched me up by my ear and said, now son, that's enough of that. I don't know if the Lord ever does that to you. If you'll notice, my left ear's bigger than my right one because He snatches me up quite often. He said, that's enough of that. I'll put you where I want you. And you'll either work for me or I'll put you out. Yes, sir. You know, when God talks to you that severe, you better listen. Okay, Lord. I said, but you know, Lord, this is not my forte. This is not what I do. I'm not good at teaching little guys. But God said, I'll help you if you'll put in the time. So I did. I began to put in the time and work with these. It wasn't the little kids because I don't have enough energy for them. And they've got a shorter time attention span than I even do. It was kind of the middle little ones. And God was helping us and we were doing good. We had a bus that we would go around and pick up the children in the neighborhood and God was helping us. And you know what? There was some Hispanics that moved into our neighborhood where we were running the bus. And they wanted to come to church. And so they started coming and they came to my class. But they couldn't hardly speak any English. But I can speak Spanish. You think God had a plan? Yeah. God had a plan. He knew where I needed to be. And so He put me where He needed me. You see, If you'll give your bitter disappointment to God, God will take that bitter disappointment and turn it into a blessing. If you'll give it to God and obey Him, He'll take that bitter disappointment and He'll make it into a blessing if you'll allow Him to. Because you see, when the children of Israel obeyed God, that bitter water became a blessing. God told them, cut down a tree and throw it in there. So they cut down the tree and they threw it in there, and voila, that bitter water became sweet. Had nothing to do with the tree, had everything to do with their obedience to God. I'm here to tell you, if you'll mind God and you'll do what God says, He'll take that bitter disappointment and turn it around and make it a blessing. You have a choice. You can sit on the side and say, you know what, forget this whole mess. I'm bitterly disappointed. I'm going to stay in my grumpy cat. Or you can say, okay, God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to serve You with everything in me. And He'll take that bitter disappointment and He'll turn it into a blessing. Oh, I'm glad that our God can turn it into a blessing. Then we notice they finally leave there. They journey on and they come to Elim, verse 27, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Oh, I love it when God leads us by the way where there's plenty of water and plenty of shade. Isn't that beautiful? But they didn't stay there. I'm here to tell you, enjoy the good times. Enjoy them to the full, because you're going to keep moving. God doesn't leave us there because we have more lessons to learn. So, we get into chapter 16 now. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses because they've left from Elim. Now they're in the wilderness of Sin. In the old King James, it looks like the wilderness of sin. And yeah, that's a bad place to be, in the wilderness of sin. But it's just a place, not the sin like we know it to be. They're in the wilderness, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Why? Because there was no food. They'd run out of food. Now, let me tell you something. Whatever crisis you face in your life is never because of a lack of planning on God's part. God is not up in heaven saying, oh, I didn't see that coming. No, nothing will ever take God by surprise. And in fact, God has a plan for your problem before you have a problem. God had a plan for the children of Israel before they ever got to the place where they ran out of food. God already had a plan in place, and His plan was greater than they could have ever imagined. And He tells them, He gives them specific instructions. I'm here to tell you, if we want to see God do what God wants to do in our life, we've got to follow His instructions. I mean, a lot of people, they want God's blessing, but they don't want to do what He says. I'm here to tell you, God's blessing is always tied in with our obedience. He doesn't bless the disobedient. He blesses the obedient. So He has a plan. And He gives them specific instructions. He tells them, tomorrow morning, you're going to see on the ground this white stuff called manna. Now, what you do is you go out and pick up a specific amount per person in your household. You do it Monday night, or Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, and Friday morning you get a double portion because you will need that for Saturday. There won't be any there Saturday. Don't go looking for it. So what did they do? They picked up too much. Because what if God doesn't really mean it? What an insult that is to God. But how many times do we do that? We think we know better. We think we have a better plan. We think we've got a better way to handle it. I'm here to tell you there is no better way than God's way. You are never going to outsmart God. They thought they would. So they gathered too much, and the next morning, it was full of worms and it stunk. They had to throw it out. Oh, okay. Lesson learned. Don't get too much. So they don't pick up the double on Friday like they're supposed to. Saturday they go out looking for it, and there isn't any. Why? Because God told them, don't go out on Saturday. There won't be any there. I'm here to tell you, you can trust God. He knows what he's doing. Don't try to do it your way. Do it God's way. Because he has a plan to fulfill what you need. If you'll do it God's way. So there was the manna. Manna is, I find it fascinating. Manna in the original language means, what is it? See, they didn't even know what this stuff was. They had no name for it. They didn't know. In fact, you read in Scripture, you say, well, it's a little bit like this and somewhat like that and a little bit like something else, but they really didn't know what it was. Isn't it awesome that God had a plan that goes beyond description? They wind up calling it, what is it? Because they don't know what else to call it. I'm here to tell you, God's got a plan for you that is beyond your ability to understand. If you'll do it God's way. They're learning the lesson. Do it God's way. God's sufficient. When they needed water, they got water. When they needed food, they got food. And in fact, as they traveled for the next 40 years, their clothes don't wear out. Wouldn't that be nice as a mother to have clothes not wear out? Shoes didn't wear out. Their feet didn't swell. God took care of absolutely everything for them when they did it God's way. Oh, I'm here to tell you, every time the children of Israel decided to do it their own way, they got in trouble. Every time they decided to do it God's way, it worked. God really knows what he's doing. So you can trust him. Do it God's way. That's the lesson they're learning as they're beginning their trip towards the Holy Land, towards the Promised Land. That if you'll do it God's way, he'll provide. The bitter disappointment, he can turn into a blessing. The lack of supplies, he's got more than enough. He had enough manna for them until they crossed into the Promised Land and began to eat of the land. Then the manna ceased. But other than that, they had plenty. Every morning except the Sabbath, they could count on it being there. Rain or shine, sleet or snow, there it was. Because God always has a plan. That's my challenge to you tonight. Let's do it God's way. As you begin to walk with God, yes, you're going to face disappointments, but that's not the end of the world. Give it to God and let God turn your disappointment into a blessing. There's going to be times when you don't understand what's going on, but God has a plan before you have a problem. And if you'll do it God's way, it'll all work out in the end. That's my challenge to us tonight. See, we got through three chapters pretty quickly, didn't we? Just in time for them to wake up and get a snack. That's perfect. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word that teaches us, instructs us, and helps us to understand. Father, would you help us to do our part to trust you, to obey you, to do what you say. And Lord, for what you do, we'll ever praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for your kind attention. You are dismissed.